there, Mama. This is the Slow Living Mama podcast. I'm your host, Melanie. I'm a stay-at-home mom to my sweet baby girl. My mission for this podcast is to create a space where mamas can come and feel like they're sitting down with a close friend to chat about what's going on in their motherhood journey. I hope you feel encouraged to soak up the days with your little ones after each episode. This is a space to challenge the pressures of our fast-paced world and to open our eyes to the beauty in the everyday, mundane moments of motherhood. Occasionally, I'll share information and my own personal experiences, but these are never recommendations or endorsement for a specific practice. Instead, it's my hope that you'll feel empowered to make choices that are right for you and your family, even if they're sometimes against the grain of our culture. I hope you walk away from each episode feeling inspired, Mama. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. So before we dive into today's topic, I just want to quickly mention the Patreon community. This is where you'll find all the good stuff. This is a membership that's only a few dollars a month. You'll get access to recipes, a source book of things that I love and recommend that will just save you time. Also, there will be the links to anything mentioned in an episode. There will also be photography prompts, all kinds of good stuff to help you just really be present in the season that you're in with your littles. So if you love what you're hearing here, I hope you will join me over on the Patreon community. Well, hey there, mamas. This is your host, Melanie. I am sitting here in my cozy little corner with my cup of raspberry tea. I really just want these episodes to be like you're sitting down to chat with a friend. I know I gleaned so much from listening to other women's stories, and I just hope that this can be an encouragement to someone listening today. So today I want to talk about breastfeeding, and we are, 16 months into my breastfeeding journey with my daughter. So breastfeeding a toddler is a whole other story. So I'm going to talk about that in a separate episode. But today I want to cover, breastfeeding for babies under one. I personally did very minimal prep or education on breastfeeding because I was mostly focused on being ready for labor and delivery. I did take a free breastfeeding class, but that was about it. However, if I could go back, I would take a class with a IBCLC, that stands for International Board Certified Lactation Consultant, just to establish a relationship with them. Because if you do plan to breastfeed for, you know, a year or more, chances are at some point or another, something's going to come up. And it would just be nice to already have a relationship with someone who knows your name. And luckily for me, especially since I didn't prepare myself very well, I didn't have any major problems with breastfeeding really early on. So I consider myself really fortunate for that. And really my biggest issue early on was keeping my baby awake while she was nursing. She would doze off, and what worked for me was just tapping her bottom when she started to fall asleep. But in those, you know, first few days when you're waking up every 2 or 3 hours to feed your baby and they fall asleep, but you're like, no, finish eating so I can go back to sleep too. But yeah, that was just a really simple solution, was just tapping her little bottom. And I also had a baby who liked to take her sweet time nursing. It was really hard for me to tell when she was nursing to eat versus nursing for comfort. And I wish I hadn't been so concerned about it, but at the time I bought into the whole sleep training message that don't let your baby nurse to sleep. Luckily, I realized pretty early on that that was going to be impossible and just wasn't something that I wanted to, this wasn't the way I wanted to do things. So I did let her nurse to sleep. She actually still nurses to sleep at 16 months. But infant sleep, that's a huge topic. So that will be, we'll talk about that another day. But yes, yeah, so starting off, breastfeeding went pretty smoothly for us. We didn't have any huge problems with latch. I do remember my midwife called it the 10-second toe curl, where it was, I don't want to say painful, but it got your attention when she first latched. And that went away with time, but I remember literally like counting to 10 and it would be gone. Besides the 10-second toe curl, the biggest issue I had in the first week was the positioning that I was using to nurse. I disliked nursing in that very first week because I was only nursing sitting upright in a chair. And sitting upright in a chair was painful for me after giving birth. So learning to nurse my baby in a side-lying position, that was a game changer. Because it wasn't the nursing that I didn't like. It was the position I was putting myself in to nurse was what was painful. So learning to nurse in a side-lying position. And again, if I had done education beforehand, that's something I would have known was an option. But yes, huge fan of nursing in the side-lying position. And let's see, so in those first few weeks, you know, it was we were on baby schedule, never tried to do any scheduling or spacing of feeds. If anything, it was my husband getting me up during the night to make sure baby was eating every few hours. And then around a month was when I had my first, I guess you would call, breastfeeding issue. So I had a clogged duct, and I don't know for sure, but if I had to guess, I would say this was caused by me sleeping on my stomach. I remember telling my husband, oh my gosh, I am so excited to sleep on my stomach again now that I'm not pregnant. Because I've always been a stomach sleeper. I was unaware that that can put pressure and can in some cases lead to clogged ducts. So I don't know if I probably won't ever know for sure what caused it, but if I had to guess, that was it. So now I am a side sleeper. However, I do look forward to being a belly sleeper again one day. So what I did to treat that duct was I did lots of massage. I did dangle feeding, which you can Google and see what that is. There's videos and such. But basically, baby is laying flat on their back, and you nurse them upside down and kind of let gravity help. I used heat pads. I did hand expression, and I also used sunflower lecithin. And this is something you want to talk to your doctor before using. But I like to just keep it on hand because it's not always super easy to find locally. I think we got like the very last bottle at our like vitamin specialty store when I needed it. So yeah, had one clogged duct around a month. Had a low fever from that. It ended up resolving on its own, but it was scary. You know, I didn't want to have to use antibiotics because I knew that baby would get that too if I continued breastfeeding. So yes, it was painful, but for me it was more mentally challenging because I knew I didn't want to go to those more extreme measures. I mean, antibiotics, some people call that extreme, some people wouldn't. But to me, that was something I wanted to avoid. So I am super lucky that it resolved itself with some pretty low intervention methods. But yeah, so that is the kind of the extent of our breastfeeding journey when it comes to, I guess, more common issues. My baby does have some food intolerances, which I'm going to talk about next. Even though this is kind of a niche topic, they say around 1% of exclusively breastfed babies have an issue with something in their mother's diet. However, I personally think this number is much higher. A lot of times when I mention this to people, they say, oh, I know someone else who had to do that. And it seems to me that that number might be a little outdated. But I see that actually as a good thing, because it shows me that moms are realizing there's something wrong. They're catching smaller issues. And also it's not just being written off as colic, which unfortunately is kind of the diagnosis that a lot of moms get when they start to notice their baby is having issues. So this started for us around a month, and it was right around the time I had that clog, so I thought maybe it was an issue from that, but it didn't go away when the clog was resolved. I talked to a lactation consultant and thought it could be a formula kind milk imbalance. So we started with the things that were easy. The easiest fix is first. So it did some things to kind of, I guess, homogenize the milk a little, if you will, help her get more high fat milk. And that also did not solve the issue. But just as I went through, I didn't get my breastfeeding education beforehand, but in the course of, I guess, troubleshooting, I did do a lot of independent research on breastfeeding. So the issue for me was not formula kind milk imbalance. And the symptoms that she was having, it was digestive issues. So her stool turned from a yellow and seedy to a green mucus. And then as time went on, it had a small amount of blood in it. And so that's when my mom's spidey senses went off, like, something is wrong. We have to figure out what's going on. I contacted the pediatrician and I guess just got more serious about trying to figure out what was wrong. So I started with eliminating dairy, because that's the most common, food intolerance for infants. I also want to just quickly mention that the top 8 most common food allergens for infants is not the same as the top 8 food, the most common food allergens for adults. So that was something that I didn't learn until well within my journey. So I'm going to just drop that little tidbit here. So I started with dairy, didn't see results. Then I eliminated egg because there is a family history for, 2 of my nephews had an issue with egg. Still didn't have any change and did see that blood again. So I went on a TED, which stands for Total Elimination Diet. And I ate nothing but turkey, pears, and sweet potatoes, because those are just known to be, it's less likely that those foods are allergens. And it was awful because it was the same thing for every meal, and especially breakfast. You know, I didn't want to eat turkey and sweet potatoes for breakfast, but I was breastfeeding and I needed calories. So that was hard. And honestly, I was hungry a lot. I slowly started to add things back in, but it was scary to eat something and not know, what if this is the trigger? What if I had to start back over from the beginning? So I tried to eat everything in moderation so that if I did eat one of the triggers that it wouldn't be as bad for my daughter. So I learned a lot going through this about nutrition, and my husband and I joke that this is probably one of the best things that could have happened, because we as a family, we eat so much more healthy now, and I'm just so much more aware of what is in our foods. So yeah, everything was made at home in this time, and this was when I was going through this total elimination diet and just very slowly adding things when most of the country was shut down. And so in a sense, it was nice to not be missing out on going out with friends or going out places and be able to just grab something on the go, because no one was going anywhere. But it was hard in the fact that this was very time consuming, that everything had to be made from scratch, and there wasn't really anyone coming over to my house to watch my baby while I meal prepped or did anything like that. So it was a hard time, for sure. I think it would be difficult on its own, but the climate of or the state of affairs kind of fed into my anxieties a bit also, that I experienced postpartum. So slowly but surely I added things back in, and got to, it took 8 months to figure out the winning combination. So I started, I realized there was a problem at a month and started eliminating things. And then we got to baseline at 9 months, got back. And for us, baseline meant getting rid of those green mucus poops. And they were, when I say green, I mean like lime green. I have some pretty funny pictures of, you know, intense blowouts, because it was, this is, you'll know if it is, you'll know if the green is too green. And you can Google pictures, and see what I'm talking about. I'm going to mention some really, really great, resources at the end of this. But yes, so at 9 months, I got to a baseline, back to a yellow, a little bit thicker of a stool. And so the winning combo for me was to stay away from wheat, egg, dairy, soy, and oats. And if that sounds like pretty much everything, it is a lot of things. I was just eating, you know, protein, vegetables, and fruits, like in their very raw form. And also the substitutes, like for example, a lot of times there'll be oats and things that are gluten-free, or there'll be egg and things that are gluten-free. And so eliminating just one of those things would have been much easier than staying off of them all. When it's a combo like that, it eliminates most packaged food items. Since then, I have added back in wheat. Yay for bread. That was a huge, huge deal for me. Just being able to make something that is transportable. A sandwich, you know, if we're going to be gone for the afternoon and not having to worry about if we're going to be somewhere where there's not going to be anything I can eat, I can take something to go. That was huge game changer. And also reintroduced goat milk. So I am still off cow's milk, but reintroduced goat milk, which there is goat butter, there is goat cheese, there is goat milk, there's goat yogurt, there's goat everything. And so that was huge. So I could have those, recipes and things with cheese in it, but I still had to make it at home. So it opened up a lot of options for me cooking, but still really very minimal options for eating out. And I was able to add back in oats, which is nice because I can't eat egg. So it's really nice to be able to have the oatmeal for breakfast. And also, oat is just in a lot of things. I didn't think it would be such a big deal, but a lot of, granola bars or things like that have oats in them. Even like cookies, a lot of gluten-free cookies or breads will have oat in them. So yes, here I am at 16 months. We just got back from a trip. So I didn't want to do anything while we were on our trip in case she had a reaction. So it's been a while since I reintroduced wheat, and the next thing on my list is cow milk. I try to choose the things that I think it's least likely first to reintroduce, and also kind of a combination of what I'm wanting to add back in the most, or what I think will open up the most foods for me. So it is certainly a lifestyle change. I think we are probably eating the healthiest I ever have in my life. It is very time consuming. You have to meal plan and you look through recipe. If you want to do a new recipe, you have to, you look through everything, read all through it, and then, oh, it has one thing at the bottom that you can't have. And I have found a lot of substitutes, and I've gotten better at using those. There's not a whole lot that I won't attempt now. It took me a while to find substitutes that didn't taste awful, to be honest. But I am using like applesauce in place of egg, or I use goat butter and everything. But yeah, so you gotta find recipes that are doable with your substitutions, and do the meal planning. You gotta sometimes shop at multiple grocery stores for specific items, and that can get those substitute items can get pretty pricey pretty fast. And then of course you have to do all your meal prep and pretty much make everything at home. I can have grilled nuggets at Chick-fil-A, and I eat there at least once a week. If there's an afternoon where I'm like, there is nothing in here that is easy for me to make, I have to eat soon, we're getting in the car and we're going to Chick-fil-A. And I am so thankful for that. Also, like burrito bowl type meals, those are pretty easy to make work. So we do a lot of Chipotle. So mama, if you are in this season of trying to figure out what the problem food is for your baby, I just want you to know right now that I see you, and you are a rock star for doing what you feel is best for your baby, even if it's hard, because this is hard. Not only are you trying to learn how to take care of a tiny human, but you just got thrown a huge curveball, and it is hard. But I just want to share some resources that really helped me. The first one is Free to Feed. Dr. Trill is amazing. You can find her on Instagram. I'm sure she has a website too, but I found her first on Instagram. She's incredibly responsive to her messages. And you can also do one-on-one consults with her for a super affordable price. The other resource is Susanna, and she is at Food Intolerance Baby. She actually has complete meal plans that can just help you not eat the exact same thing every day, like I was doing for a while. And she's had two babies that have had food intolerances, and she's another really great resource. Those two have made all the difference for me, and I am so thankful for them. But yeah, if you know of a mama who's going through this, I would just ask them what they need, because it's hard. It's really hard season, to be going through, and there's a lot of fear fear there. You know, you want to have this special bond, a special relationship with your baby and be able to breastfeed. So it's not only, it's definitely not just about not being able to eat your favorite foods. There is a fear there that I can't fully describe, that, you know, what if I can't do this? What if I'm going to miss out on this part of our relationship? Because breastfeeding is not just nutrition at all. It is about a relationship. It's about comfort. It's when they become a toddler. It's the only chance you get to snuggle them and they be still. It has just been such a sweet part of my relationship with my daughter. So when you're wondering if that's all, that could all go away, there's a fear there. And mamas, I want you to know that you can do it, and I see you right now. So if you're in a place where you can support a mom who's going through that, please do. Just ask her what she needs. Go get that one random ingredient from the grocery store so she doesn't have to drive all over town. But yes, I hope that this has been helpful or encouraging for maybe moms that are hoping to breastfeed, or those who are and are having to troubleshoot a bit. This has been my experience with breastfeeding, and we are at 16 months with no intention of stopping soon. So yeah, it's an incredibly time-consuming but incredibly rewarding part of the relationship between you and your baby.